actually some problem. Here, Davoy Kari Lum.
Yeah, we have all the record here.
It'll be grand to hear that, because I think that is, in many ways, it's the there are various apotheoses of extraneous Italian art. I'm sure Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony is one.
Beautiful song, Davoy Kari Lum.
Davoy Kari Lum is an art.
Macht der Augen.
Yes, oh, that's right. L'incanto
degli occhi. L'incanto degli occhi.
And there's another one in Dutch, 9.
Il traditor deluso.
Yes, thank you. Now, those, I think, are three unquestionable masterpieces, and they're Schubert speaking with his Italian voice. And they sound lovely to me. I mean, he sounds like a great composer of Italian in those songs, too.
Yes.
Mendelssohn, Italian Symphony, and Wolf, Italian Liederbuch, of course, but also the Italian Serenade. I stopped talking about that because I thought that it might be preferable if I had to weave that into some discourse on the Italian songbook another time. And I think that perhaps that is where it belongs, because the thematic material is quoted again in the Italian songbook.
Yes, sir.
But there are those masterpieces, and I think they may have a special quality which is hard to define. I looked for the Mozart Italian symphonies and couldn't be quite sure which they were. He says, I've written for it four Italian symphonies. We actually look at the scores, it's not entirely clear to me which are the ones he thinks are Italian. I mean, the style has already, 14, 15, 16, 17, the style has already assimilated, so it's very hard for me, maybe possible for experts, I'm not a Mozart here, to tell what he means about the Italian symphonies. And also I'd like to know what actually the relationship is between his quartets, the Italian early Italian quartets, and the Sammartini quartets. Because I'm sure that's quite like Schubert and Zumstein. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they had, and Schubert and Salieri, I'm sure they had actual Italian models, which he would have carried on into his later composition. Mm-hmm. All this kind of inquiry starts up in my mind, all manner of amazingly interesting possible avenues of further musicological approach, if anyone had time.
Would you think the influence of the fact the North German composers, Zumstein and Zelter, and people like that, were Protestants from Berlin?
Yes.
And that Schubert and Salieri in Vienna were Catholics?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think Schubert was both. I mean, the North German tributes to the Lied were quite strong. And Schubert, I'm sure, had to have the North German Protestants. Zumstein as well as Salieri, because let's face it, it's going to be bigger than both of them put together. Okay. All the same, it's interesting to know where the line is drawn and where the sunshine actually happens. It was quite a surprise to me to discover, as I think I did discover, that Schumann has almost no real affinity with Italy at all. And the same, I think, must be said about Brahms. The North Germans, it's partly geography. If temperament goes by geography and climate, and I'm sure it does a bit, okay, then you can draw parallels of latitude, okay? And North Germany is somehow just further away in every sense of that expression from Italy, whereas Mozart and Schubert and Wolf, when we come to Wolf, we have to say that his mother was Italian, some of us think. His mother certainly thought so. There's this family tradition that his mother was Italian. She was certainly Slovenian, and the Istrian Peninsula, I'm sure in those days, was under Italian hegemony, so there was a very strong connection there. That was family.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I mean, Schubert, what is forgotten is that Schubert lived in an empire which numbered Venice as its possession.
Yes, for sure.
Maria Teresa did the best theatres in Italy, Mantova, Teatro Scientifico. The Bibiena was done by Maria Teresa.
The poet of the Almacht was Pirke, the Patriarch of Venice.
That's right.
And actually the Austrian Navy inhabited Trieste, Vienna, all those towns. It wasn't very nice for the Italians that the Austrians
got to the Venice.
There's so much to learn, history, geography, and these have all become, I'm sorry to say, part of musicology, which really rules that subject out of court for one person with one life to live and other interests. It's just so demanding. But perhaps with the advent of computers, okay, we'll lighten our burden.
Do you think that from the settings of this composer, of the Kästler's Land, you can understand what did they think about Italy or not?
Yeah, well, the difficulty always in music and reasoning and discourse about music is the question of where in our minds the subconscious level comes, what the communicating process actually is. We've got into a terrible habit of calling unconscious or subconscious, under the baneful influence of Freud, the father of lies. Under this fearful influence, we've got into a terrible habit of referring, of calling unconscious and subconscious things that are not that, but are actually just non-verbal. The way musicians think and feel, as it were, Denken in tone, okay, the way the chess player thinks, feels, reasons, and emotes, because there's passion in that game too, powerful passion, that way is also, it's in terms of units of force or interaction, and it's purely conceptual, but it's not subconscious, and it's nothing like subconscious. And when we ask ourselves the meaning of music and what you can infer from Kensington's Land and where the sun actually shines from, okay, then at that stage you have to really to build a whole new aesthetic. I think modern musical aesthetics has been rather spoiled by the doctrine of the subconscious or the unconscious mind, because what I hear all the time is deliberate music making, but at a level of the brain which seems subconscious if you're dealing in words. We have to use words when we talk to each other. We have to use notes when we play or sing to each other. Yes. But there must be, deep down at the roots, okay, when you start grubbing tief aus der Erde, they must have the same roots. Yeah. So there must be an interconnection, but it is absolute hell and agony to make manifest in the first place, to explain to yourself and then to try to describe. Every musician feels this.